522, please, in your hymnals this evening. 522, we'll sing together, "Since I Have Been Redeemed." 522. Voices, please, let's sing that third stanza together. Ladies, join us when we get to the chorus. Jesus is mine. 463. 463, blessed assurance. Most of you have found it by now. Let's stand as we sing together, please. On this last stanza, we'll take those holds in the middle, and all of you ladies and you gentlemen who sing those higher notes, feel free to reach those when we get to the end of the chorus. Perfect submission, all is at rest.
Amen.
please.
Please turn to Matthew chapter 6 for our memory verses. We'll say the reference from 19 through 21 and then repeat the verses together. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Thank you for coming tonight to share in this service. Appreciate everyone's attendance. I know we have a good group down in the Collins building as well. If you're a visitor tonight, we'd like to have you identify yourself, not by standing up and telling us who you are and where you're from, but a much simpler thing of just taking a visitor's card out of the book rack in front of you, fill it out, and put it in the offering plate when it passes by, and we'll thank you in advance for doing that. Remind you about our business meeting on Wednesday night when we'll be electing deacons. There is an agenda with the candidates' names on that agenda at the reception desk, and there's also a brief biographical sketch of each of the men that have been nominated for the office of deacon. There are 14 names on the list. We'll be electing 10. So take one of those sheets, look it over, pray about it, and then please come and help us do this part of our business. This is very important as we choose our deacons, those who will be elected now for the coming year. The young people are reminded, of course, their folks are reminded too about the harvest happening on Friday evening. This is always a very good time with the food and especially the hay rides. Everybody enjoys them. And if you have children and church here, hope you'll come and share in this on Friday evening, beginning at 6 o'clock at the far end of the athletic field. And each child is to be accompanied by at least one parent. More details about that in the bulletin. Then I need to say more again about Outreach 2000. We now have all of the materials to use. We have the brochures that are available to explain a little more about the meetings coming up November the 12th through the 15th. We also have bumper stickers, or you can put them on your windows. Plenty of those available. And we have the yard signs for you to take home and put in your yard. It says the same thing on both sides. Missing peace, that's kind of the theme that we have, and the fact that you can find peace in the Lord. And we have a website. We've already had a lot of people, whatever you do to a website, anyhow, get that information. And this is something we hope to keep going after the meetings are over and make this a permanent means of having the gospel available to people. So pick up some of these. The signs will be outside. The other materials are over here in the ministry center. Also, on Monday, the meetings are the 12th through the 15th, but on Monday there will be a luncheon for men, and we have tickets available for that luncheon. You can't buy just one ticket because don't want you to come by yourself, but if you can bring an unsaved friend or an unchurched friend with you, so you need to buy at least two tickets. You can buy more than that, but at least two, and they're $10 each, and that may sound like a lot, but if we invite somebody to a lunch, we want something nice to feed them when they get there. We had talked about maybe just having a box lunch and say, well, how would I feel if I was invited to a lunch and they stuck a box in front of me with a sandwich or something in it? So it's going to be a little nicer than that. And the cost is $10, but that's far less. That's a third less than what the meals are actually costing. The other $5 is being underwritten. So those will be available. Maybe you need to think about it. Maybe you need to ask somebody before you buy the tickets, but they are available tonight back in the ministry center. And then we're having a luncheon also for the ladies on Tuesday. And these luncheons are both being held at 12 o'clock. They'll last just an hour at the Palmetto Center, right where the meetings are being held in the same building. And the same for the ladies. You can't buy just one ticket, but buy at least two, invite a friend with you or a working acquaintance or somebody that's unsaved or unchurched that you know that might come to a luncheon but who would not come to the meetings at night. And those tickets are also available back in the ministry center. We had a training session yesterday for counselors, and we didn't have a tremendous turnout. We need to have several hundred people available to counsel. Now, you're not obligating yourself to come every night. I hope you can. But maybe some of you have something in your schedule that you can't come every night, so you say, well, I can't be a counselor. Now, if you can only come just one night, you could be a counselor that night. And Pastor Roop from down at Calvary has agreed to come again on Wednesday evening to have a special training session for our folks here. This one yesterday was open to people from other churches. But on Wednesday evening at 6:30, here in room A202 and 204, we'll have another training session. It's not complicated at all. Whether you are used in the meeting or not, you can benefit from this training if you want to be used of the Lord to share the gospel with others. This morning I showed all of these slips that were signed at the beginning of the year. There are nearly 1,000 of them here that you folks signed saying, as the Lord gave you the opportunity, God helping me, I will commit myself to present the plan of salvation to at least one person during the year 2000. Have you done it? That's the question. If you haven't, here's an opportunity for you to do it yet this year. So, looking for all the deacons to come, looking for all of our church staff to come, looking for all our teachers in our day school to come, Sunday school teachers to come, you all can benefit greatly from this, I say, not only for now, but if we're going to be reaching out to others, we need to know what we're doing. And that doesn't mean many of you don't know what you're doing. You're already adept at doing that. But there's some particular things that are needed in regard to be counseling at Outreach 2000. So if you can come, and I trust many of you will, that we can have at least a couple hundred of our people trained to do counseling as they are needed. And you can get the instruction that you need Wednesday evening at 6:30. Also, we're going to be having the nurseries here at the church. There'll be a program for children beyond toddler age at the Palmetto Expo Center conducted by the Masons. But for infants and toddlers, there'll be no facilities there. So for your children or the children, or the babies and toddlers of somebody you bring with you, you'll bring them here to the church. And since you will be off the premises, we thought you would feel more secure if there was a nurse on duty. And we're going to have a nurse on duty. And if you are a nurse and you could help just one night, that would be a great service that you could render. We'll have buses available here, not only for the people using the nursery, but for any of you that would like to park your cars here and ride the buses to the Expo Center. We'll be doing that each night. Now, as far as Sunday evening is concerned, that's really the only night that we think we might have an overflow crowd. We hope we will every night, but Sunday evening we could easily have an overflow crowd. We're not going to tell anybody not to come. I don't want to discourage you about coming. We will have a service here, an abbreviated service, at 5:30. That'll be primarily a prayer service. Some of you that feel that that's what you want to do and not go on to the Palmetto Expo Center that night, that'll be fine. If you want to come to this and then go on to that, that'll be fine too. If you don't want to come to this and go directly there, we'll get out shortly after 6, so you'll have plenty of time to get there. And I think that's what most of the other churches are doing. They're having a short prayer meeting for those for everybody, and then for those that do not go that night, that they'll have a brief service. So that'll be our plans for Sunday, November the 12th. For the 15th, on Wednesday, we will not have a service here, only the service at the Palmetto Expo Center. If you think that you might be using the nursery, you're not obligating yourself in any way, but if you think you might be using the nursery, please sign up down at the nursery, because we'd like to have some rough idea of how many children to expect in the nursery so we would know how many workers to have there. We still have our prayer time before and after the service on Sunday evening. Still having the Tuesday morning prayer meeting at the Palmetto Expo Center. Appreciate so much. We had a good group of teens and a good group of the power company there this last Tuesday, along with quite a number of other folks from our church. And our goal is to have 100 meeting there. We probably had well over 50. I didn't get an exact number, but maybe even got closer to 100. But that'll be again this week, and just a few weeks left until the meeting. 3 weeks from tonight. So pray much. That's going to be the secret to God's blessing the time we spend in prayer, really beseeching Him to send down His blessing upon these meetings. Thank you for bearing with me while I've gone through all of this, but remember to pick up your materials as you go tonight and make use of them. We have the billboards. We get a lot of these yard signs, a lot of bumper stickers, a lot of brochures given out. We have a lot of little business-sized cards that you can give to everybody. And as we flood the community with those, it's gonna build up this idea, do I have peace? Do I have real peace in my heart? And there are many people that do not have. And we're just looking forward with anticipation to what God is going to do. Mildred Ayers is still in Barge Hospital. Helen Johnson went home on Friday. Sarah Rice is still in Greenville Memorial. She had some fluid removed from her lungs. She's doing better this afternoon. Gloria Wheeler fell again, and she's in Allen Bennett. Tim King had some surgery this week. On Wednesday, he's at home. Ernest Collins will be having some eye surgery this coming Thursday. Mrs. Betty Dreisbach, the wife of Dr. John Dreisbach, had some fluid on her lungs, and this was removed on Friday. I learned this afternoon that Gladys Jelliff will be having major cancer surgery at 11 o'clock on Tuesday in Easley. And we want to pray again for Joyce Bierman, who lost her mother, and for Harriet Williams, who lost her sister. Harriet has gone to Iowa, where the funeral service will be held on Tuesday. I want to pray for these folks, as well as praying for ourselves as we're gathered here. And thank you for your giving tonight. We'll ask the ushers to come and get in place to receive your tithes and offerings for this evening. Father, you have given us so many promises regarding prayer. The fact that you will hear prayer and that you delight in the prayer of the upright. We admit we're not upright in ourselves, but all of our righteousness is to be found in Jesus Christ. And therefore we believe our prayers are a delight to you, if our hearts are right before thee. We know, Lord, that you can do great and mighty things which we know not. And when we've asked to the limit of our asking, we have not asked to the limit of your giving. Guide us in our giving this evening, tithes and offerings to this ministry. Hear our prayers in behalf of those who are sick. Some have gone through very difficult times. They're continuing to be tested. Father, be with them and may they have a sense of your presence with them now. For those that are going to have surgery, undertake for them. For Joyce Bierman, Harriet Williams, who've lost loved ones, continue to comfort their hearts, use them to be a blessing to others. Lord, we're excited about the possibilities that are before us in Outreach 2000. With all that we can do, we cannot bring revival. All of our signs, all of our TV ads, all of our newspaper ads, all that we can do to promote it will not in itself bring revival. But we believe that these can be aids to your blessing as we use them prayerfully and carefully. I pray for these two special lunches. Lord, there might be some folks that will come to those lunches who will find Christ as Savior. Perhaps people that would not come to the meetings at night, but would come to a luncheon. Help us to seriously consider what we can do and who we can bring, both men and women. I pray, Father, you'd be with Tom Farrell and you'd empower him for the great task that is before him. You'd just give him unusual power in his preaching. Undertake for all of the 101 other things that have to be seen about for these meetings to be held. We know that today, Outreach 2000 meetings are beginning in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, with Evangelist Phil Schuler and Evangelist Steve Pettit and his team are involved in a meeting out in Denver beginning today. And Lord, we pray that they'll be greatly blessed and these efforts will be greatly used of Thee to make an impact upon these communities. And that's our heart's longing, Lord, that there would be a spiritual impact made wherever these meetings are held. And may Greenville be changed as people are changed. That's the only way to change a community, is for people's hearts to be changed. We pray for that. Guide us in this meeting, this service tonight. Use it for our blessing and for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.
Our offertory this evening was played by William Lee. We appreciate his ministry to us. He may not be as familiar to some of you as he is to some of us old folks. He and his family were members of this church years ago, but then they left Greenville and they're now living in the mission field of Atlanta, Georgia. But William is a student at Bob Jones University, and we appreciate his ministry in the offertory this evening. Let's take our hymnals once again, please, and turn to 105. 105, fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. 105, let's stand once again to sing together. Stanza together, and then when we get to the chorus, we'll ask the instruments to drop out, please. You may be seated.
Our scripture this evening is found in Matthew chapter 18. While you're turning there, I'll remind you that this is a service from Hampton Park Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and I'm Pastor Dave Urich. I'll begin to read with verse 1 and read through verse 11. And following the scripture in prayer, Ken Puidek will come and sing for us. Matthew 18, verse 1, at the same time, came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Father, I pray that you might use your word tonight and our time together in it to teach us and instruct us and to challenge us and to convict us where that is needed. I pray if there are any here that do not have a personal relationship with Thee through Jesus Christ, that today would be the day of their salvation. And for those of us who profess to be saved, if we're not what we ought to be before Thee, speak to our hearts about that, convict us about that. And Lord, help us to get rid of those things that we ought to put aside, that we might live a life that is pleasing to Thee, that we might have hearts that are in tune with Thee. I ask in Christ's name, amen. For your ministry to us this evening. As we know, sin is universal. The Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And from a personal standpoint, we know, each one of us knows that we have sinned. While not all particular sins have been committed by everyone, the one we're considering this evening is one of which we are all guilty. According to the Bible, James 3:2 says, "For in many things we offend all," or "we all offend." No one is guiltless in this matter of being offensive at times. James is dealing primarily with the tongue in that third chapter, but there are countless other ways in which we offend too. Not only have we all offended, we have also all been offended by someone else. Because this sin is so widespread, we may tend not to take it seriously. But what a mistake that is. Every sin is a serious sin before a holy God. In our scripture this evening, the words of Jesus should leave no doubt in our minds about the seriousness of this sin in God's sight. In verses 1 through 5 of Matthew 18, we have the account of the disciples asking, "Who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" That was a question they wanted answered quite often, hoping that the Lord would say, "You are." But they came before him more than one time with this question. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." And he said, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child," before me, that is, who will humble himself as this little child is humble before me, he's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. But going down to verse 6, he says, "But whoso shall offend or hurt one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Now, some take little ones to refer to little children, physically little. Most commentators believe that he is talking about those who are small in their faith, those who are young Christians, those who are baby Christians, those who are weak Christians. So he says to offend one of these little ones, one of these weak believers, it would be better for the person who does that to die by being drowned in the sea rather than to offend one of these little ones. Better to die than to offend. That sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? If the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, "You're better dead than you are to be alive and to offend," that's serious. Then he says, "Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come." And that's taking the fact that, again, that sin is universal. And we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And in our weakness, in our sinfulness, we're going to offend other people. But he goes on to say, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee." And we know these verses well. "If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out." Here he's saying it's better to be severely handicapped than it is to offend. Some of you may have sight in only one eye. Maybe you've had it for such a long time you don't consider it a handicap anymore. But there are times that you recognize that it is. And there are a lot of people with one hand or one arm, or one leg and one foot, and they realize that they are handicapped. But the Lord says it's better to be handicapped than it is to offend. Now, here he's talking about offending ourselves by what we see and what we do. But the same thing would fit in the matter of offending others. So it's better for us to be dead. It's better for us to be severely handicapped than it is to offend other people. As we talk about offending other people, we're thinking about those things that cause others to stumble or fall into sin, those things that are a hindrance to them as they would seek to follow the Lord and live for Him, or even as some would come to know the Lord. Remember, when Jesus was here on earth, there were times when people wanted to get to Him, and they couldn't get to Him because of the crowd. Now, those people were not being intentionally stumbling blocks, but they were hindering people from getting to the Lord to hear what He had to say, and probably for them to trust Him and believe in Him as Savior. So this is a very serious matter, this matter of offending others, and not one that we should pass off lightly. If Jesus considered offenses to be serious, certainly we should too. We ought to be asking ourselves over and over again, is there anything in my life that is leading others into sin? Now, certainly every person is responsible for his own sin. We know that. Each one of us have to answer for ourselves. But is there anything in our lives that would be leading others into sin or pushing others towards sin? Are we guilty of anything like that? We need to look in the mirror. I'm talking about the literal mirror now, like you have at home, in your bedroom or somewhere in your house. There might be somebody here that doesn't believe in mirrors and you don't have one, and that's evident from looking at you. But for the rest of us, we have mirrors. We need to literally look in the mirror and say, is there anything about my appearance, anything about my dress, anything about my grooming, anything about me that would be offensive to somebody else that might put a stumbling block in somebody else's way? Perhaps you say, well, it looks all right to me. But that's not what's important. How does it look to others? How does it affect others? That's the important thing. Not how it looks to me. I might look in the mirror and say, hey, I look great. I'm fine. And yet somebody else might take offense at the way I look. So we need to look in the mirror. We also need to look in the mirror of our minds, of our thoughts. Am I thinking anything? Do I have any sinful desires? Do I have any unwholesome habits? Looking into the mirror of our minds to see if there's anything there that is offensive. But above all, we need to look into the mirror of God's Word. That's the clearest mirror that we have. Those mirrors at home may be clouded for one reason or another, and we don't really see what we ought to see. The mirror of our minds might be clouded by some thought or another. We don't think clearly. But when we look into the mirror of God's Word, we see ourselves as we really are. James warned about looking into the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, and not being a doer of the Word of God. Now, we have to look into the mirror, and then as we are told by the Word of God that there is something in us that is offending others, that is hurting others, then we need to use what God has provided for us to get that out of our lives. So this matter of offending others and maybe pushing them towards sin or leading them into sin or making sin look attractive to them, giving them wrong thoughts and wrong desires. Jesus said, it's better to die than do that. It's better to be handicapped, severely handicapped in your body, than to do that. Proverbs 18:19 says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. The offense here is that of hurting someone's feelings and rupturing a relationship as a result of it. Again, this is something that every one of us has done on occasion. We can do this through our attitude toward others. We can do it through our words. And we can do it through our actions. This may not seem as serious as causing someone to stumble and fall directly into sin. Yet, if restitution is not made, if this hurt is not healed, if this stumbling block is not removed, such an offense can cause the offended ones to sin. I learned this week that I had offended two people, not related. One offense was 18 years ago. Something I said to somebody. They've been carrying this for 18 years, and they haven't been here in church. They've come to Sunday school, but they haven't been in church service but once or twice in all that 18 years. Another person was offended because of something I supposedly said. And they haven't been to church for years and years. Now, maybe they have other reasons for not coming. But having learned now of the offense that I committed against them, I have an idea that's why they haven't been here. And to me, that in itself is a sin. For one person to go 18 years without being in preaching service, that's a sin before God. For another, the other person may have been 10 years since they've been in a preaching service. That has led them to sin. That has caused them to do that which is not right because I hurt their feelings. How inclined we are to defend our offenses, are we not? We defend them. The fact that we offend others. Maybe we say, well, I am what I am. God made me this way. I can't help it. There's something about me that is offensive to somebody else. So what? I'm just the person God made. This is the way I've always been. This is the way I'm always going to be. God's responsible for my being what I am. And therefore, God is responsible for my offenses. I'm not. I remember knowing of a young lady years and years ago when I was young. She was a beautiful girl, but she was very immoral. And when she was confronted with what she was doing in breaking up marriages, having husbands forsake their wives for a time for her, this was her response. God gave me this body. God made me beautiful. It's not my fault that men follow me. It's not my fault that men fall into sin. This is the way God made me. So she sought to defend her offensiveness. And that is something we tend to do. Or we might say, well, people get offended too easily. They should be more understanding. Maybe so. But it doesn't matter whether they get offended too easily or not. If we offend them, that's the problem. That's the difficulty. Yeah, we shouldn't get offended at some little things that somebody might say about us, or something that somebody might do to us, or something that we just might think has happened. That doesn't change it at all. And that's not a valid defense of our offense when we say, well, people get offended too easily. They should be more understanding. They should be more charitable. Perhaps they should. But I say if they're offended, then they're offended. Or we say, well, there's just no way to please some people. And again, that's right. Some people we can't please. We should try. And just because we can't please them does not give us license to offend them. We say, well, I've tried. I've tried to be a friend of this person. I've tried to love this person. I've tried to help this person. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. And I just haven't found them receptive. And they're still offended at me. Maybe. But whether we can please them or not, I believe God's goal for us is to seek to please people. Now, Paul talked about pleasing people, and he was talking about doing things that he ought not to do in order to please people. I'm talking about things that we ought to do to seek to please people. That should be our effort. Another defense we give is, well, what I do is my business. If I offend others, it's too bad. And that's probably one of the most widespread defenses we can find. My life is mine. This is my time. This is my day. And I'm going to do what I want to do. And if others are offended by it, that's just too bad. Well, it is too bad. But none of us have a right to say, this is my life. And I'll live it like I want to live it, regardless of whether it offends others or not. We may insist, well, what I did was not really offensive. And maybe it wasn't in our sight, like I said about looking into the mirror. You might look into the mirror and you see nothing offensive about your appearance, about your dress, about your grooming. You don't see anything offensive. You like it. But again, that doesn't matter. Is it offending somebody else? Is it hurting somebody else? Is it tending to lead somebody else in the wrong direction? What is offensive to others may not be offensive to me, but if it's offensive to others, I need to be concerned about that and not defend it. We say, well, I didn't intend to offend anyone. And a lot of times we offend not intending to do it. Maybe in a moment without thinking, we say something that cuts and hurts and just grieves the person to whom we're talking. Or maybe we show an attitude towards somebody that is hurtful to them. And we're sorry as soon as we did it, but we didn't intend to do it. However, it was still offensive. And that in itself is not a good defense. Or I can say, with these two people I mentioned, I didn't know I did it. And I didn't. I didn't know that till this week. And I can say, well, after 18 years, they ought to forget it. Or after 10 years, they ought to forget it. Now, that'd be easy to say, and I've said that to myself. But that's not the right thing. I need to go to those folks. I'm going to try to go to them this week and say, I didn't know I offended you, but I did. I don't remember the occasion. I don't remember what I said. Apparently you have, if you're still holding on to it after all this time. And I'm going to ask them to forgive me. And I hope they will. Now, it's very likely that I've offended some of you, and I don't know it. And if I have, don't carry it for 18 years. Don't carry it for 10 years. Don't carry it for a day. Come into my office and let me know. that you've offended me. Now, when you face my office, please line up to the right and not to the left, because the hall is longer on the right and more of you can get in there. But I really mean that. If I have offended you, don't hold on to that. If somebody else has offended you, don't hold on to it. Don't grieve over it. Don't treat it like a sore boil that you keep irritated for year after year. Who suffered most from these folks that I've offended? I haven't, because I didn't know I did it. They have. And they really had a responsibility to come to me as Christian brothers, but they didn't. And therefore, I have an obligation to search them out. But don't hold on to the hurts. And that's another defense that we use. We say, well, they'll get over it. Maybe not. Maybe they'll hold on to it till their dying day. There are people that go to their graves holding on to offenses, things that others have done to them. They take them with them into the grave. How sad. These are all poor excuses in the sight of God. They're not valid. We might use them as a defense, but they're not valid before God. We might bring up many others, but they're not valid in the sight of God. We all know 1 Corinthians 10:31, especially if we've had any contact with the wilds. You might turn there with me. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. How many know that verse? You've heard it before. Have you ever read verse 32? We know verse 31, but have you ever read verse 32? It says, give none offense, neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God. And he's saying, don't give any offense to anybody. And then Paul goes on to say, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Paul didn't want to offend people. He wanted to reach people. He didn't want to turn them away. He wanted to bring them to the Lord. He wanted to have an opportunity to give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul was offended many times. But he says, I please all men and all things. I try not. He's not, again, talking about doing wrong things. But he's trying to say, I don't want to be offensive to people. I don't want to offend anybody, that they may be profited, that they may be saved. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians 6. And look at verse 3. Where Paul says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Now, in a sense, all of us are involved in a ministry. Not all have been called to preach and teach, be missionaries or pastors or evangelists. But we've all been called to serve God, and that's what ministering is. It's serving God. So he says, give no offense in anything, that the ministry, that the cause of Christ, be not blamed. All the host of people that are out here today with hurt feelings, who are blaming God Himself, who are blaming the church, who are blaming pastors and blaming deacons and blaming Christians for all that has gone wrong in their lives because they've been offended, and they want nothing to do with God. They want nothing to do with the church. The ministry is being blamed. The cause of Christ is being blamed because they've been offended. And he says, giving no offense in anything. But look at verse 4. But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God. Once again, we may not all carry that title of minister, but all of us are servants. We're here to serve. And we're all ministers of God in one way or another. And here are some of the things that we should be willing to experience as ministers of God rather than seeking our own way and to satisfy ourselves, and in doing so, maybe to offend others. In much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. We're just reading these over quite quickly now. Take some time to think upon these verses. Read them again when you have time to meditate on them. Seeing what Paul was saying, we should be willing to experience. as ministers of God. And then he says, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. But it all goes back to verse 3, that we so live, that we so conduct ourselves, that we give no offense in anything, that the cause of Christ, that the ministry of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ be not blamed, and in a sense suffer for it, because people turn away rather than following after the Lord. There is one offense that all Christians carry. Paul in Galatians 6:11 refers to the offense of the cross. Yes, many people are offended because we declare that Jesus Christ, through His death on the cross, provides the only way by which we can be cleansed from our sins and made fit for heaven. And people are saying today, we're narrow, we're not tolerant, we're too strict in our beliefs. Former President Jimmy Carter just left the Southern Baptist Convention because they're too strict in their beliefs. And I was glad to see the president of the convention said, we haven't moved. It's President Carter who has moved. We stand where we've always stood on the Word of God. Maybe they haven't, but that was his testimony. And so we are an offense. And the fact that we uphold the cross of Jesus Christ on which He died, not the cross Himself, but the cross that was made precious by the fact that Jesus Christ hanged there and suffered there and shed His blood there and died there for our sins. That's an offense. But that's an offense we ought to proudly carry with us every day. Never back off on it. Never apologize for it. Never treat it lightly. Somebody says, you believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven? You say, yes, 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 and say it in such a way that they're assured that you believe that. They may be offended, but that's one offense that we, I say, ought to carry proudly. At the closing session of the educators meeting, the Christian School Convention in Charlotte on Friday, and some of the folks were there that are here tonight, our teachers and other teachers, and Congressman Tom DeLay, who's the House Whip from Texas, was especially challenging men to be strong in their faith. He talked about muscular Christianity. Carl Herbster got up, who's the president of AACS, said, I'd never heard that term before, but I like it. And I like it too. This is what we need today, is muscular Christianity. And I was so impressed the fact that Congressman DeLay was putting this emphasis upon men, young men, who will stand firm for their faith in Jesus Christ. We're not willing just to be carried along by the current. We're not willing to please everybody. We're not willing to be weak and to back off from what they believe, but to be strong, to be muscular in their faith. And we do need such men today. We need young men. We have a lot of young men here. And we need young men who are muscular in their faith and are not just trying to go with the tide. Anybody can be a weakling. Anybody can go along with the current. It takes somebody who has muscle, spiritual muscle, to stand firm. And all of us can point to the times when we weren't firm, when we weren't strong. I pray that God would impress upon us the great need of our day to have strong, muscular men, and women too, strong in the faith. So we're not to offend others. Do things, say things, think things that would lead them into sin or cause them to stumble. While we're not to offend and hurt the feelings of others, we do bear the offense of the cross. We ought to bear it proudly. If you were to look into the mirror right now, whether it be the mirror at home or as you look into the mirror of your mind, or as we look into the mirror of God's Word tonight, do you see anything there that is offensive, that's hurting others, that's pulling them down, that's providing for them a wrong example, that may be turning them in an evil way from which they could return but maybe never will return? There's only one thing to do with our offenses. The only thing we can do with any of our sins, that's to confess them, repent, turn from them, accept God's forgiveness. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that Jesus was offended for our behalf. He bore all the ridicule and all of the hurt, all the meanness of men, even suffering the death of the cross. And now we who follow Him must bear the offense of the cross, but may we do it proudly. May we do it willingly. May we do it lovingly. May we do it faithfully. And Lord, give us men. Give us young men. Lord, only Thou dost know the potential among the young men that are here in this service tonight. Some of them eager to follow in Your way, to be everything You want them to be. Others holding back, showing weakness, showing a lack of dedication, a lack of willingness to follow in Your way. Challenge them, Father, and challenge each of us in this matter of our offenses. We're sorry when we offend folks, and Lord, we all do it. And may we get rid of anything, just anything, out of our lives that would cause others to stumble and fall. Or get rid of anything that is hurting the feelings and injuring others in their spirit. Not seeking to please ourselves, but to please others. For the profit of many, that Christ would be glorified. Thank you, Father, for giving us Your Word and for the instruction of it. In Christ's name, amen. We're going to sing number 325, Song of Invitation. Of course, we know from the Word of God there's nothing the unsaved person can do to please God. God is offended by everything that the unregenerate sinner does. Even the plowing of the wicked is sin before God. So there's no way to please God without knowing Christ. And you can't begin to please Him until you give your heart over to Him. And if you haven't done that, we have folks here who would be so glad to take you to a side room and show you the plan of salvation this evening. But as you consider yourself, consider your personal makeup, consider your life, is there anything that is offensive there that you ought to put on the altar, that you ought to surrender to God and say, Lord, help me to overcome this. I don't want to be offensive. I know I shouldn't be offensive. Maybe you've not been concerned about it before. But maybe in some way God has spoken to you about it tonight. Would you come here and kneel at this altar? We don't even know what it is. You know what it is. Maybe there's somebody you offended. You need to go to them. Maybe you need to call them this week. Say, I offended you. I didn't mean to. Or maybe you did mean to. Doesn't make any difference. You need to make it right. Let's stand together. 325. Come as you need to come. Oh, Just hum this through with the instruments as they play. Would you hum this song? And if you need to move, do it. Do it for your own blessing. Do it for the blessing of others. Do it for the glory of God. Giving no offense in anything. Are you offending somebody? Hurting them in a way that you don't need to? Not talking about the cross now. Talking about your testimony for Christ. But something in your life, something in your words, something that ought not to be there. Would you come? Kneel here at this altar as others have done. Really get this straightened out with the Lord tonight. That you can be a blessing instead of an offense. Hum it together. Moment of opportunity to lay aside that which should not be there. Will you do it? Carefully consider what we see there and to be willing to lay aside anything we ought to lay aside that might be offensive to others. Challenge us, Lord, with the fact that no man lives unto himself. We're in a world where we're intermingled with other people. And I pray that we would desire to have the best influence upon people that we can have, to make the greatest impact for good upon people that we can make. May we not be satisfied just to be mediocre, just to run with a crowd, just to be weak and namby-pamby. But Lord, give us strength. You've promised, as our days, so shall our strength be. Help us to desire that strength and trust Thee for it. Grateful for those who've come tonight. And Lord, as they poured out their hearts to Thee, we're glad that You've ministered to them. In Christ's name, amen. James Hood came. He has a real desire to be used of God and to hold high the banner of the Lord and to be strong. He's a young man yet, but the Lord is already using him. And I know the Lord wants to continue to use him. And he asks us to pray, Lord, would keep him in that place where he can be used for the glory of God. Remind you to pick up your things regarding Outreach 2000. I think there are also some more signs out there about the lottery. I know there's a lot of information about the lottery, some new information that we received that you can give out. 2 weeks from Tuesday is the day. The time is short. And another thing we were told at the convention was that in 1994, when conservatism had a great victory, Christians went to the polls as they had not done maybe ever before. I'm talking about the number of Christians. And only one out of four Christians, professing Christians, voted in 1998. And if we have that same percentage this time, we're going to get what we deserve, even though it may not be what many of us want. So be praying. Be preparing to vote. Don't miss that opportunity. The Conleys are with us now on a full-time basis. And next Sunday, Pastor Drew Conley will be preaching in both the morning and evening services. Let's close tonight by singing just one verse of 157. Great realization that God's grace is greater than our sin. Just the first stanza, 157.